like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal. Talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals. Good morning, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and my guest today is Raymond J. Lesniak, veteran New Jersey state senator who has a long and distinguished legislative track record of working on behalf of animals and animal welfare. Some of Lesniak's efforts have yielded pioneering legislation. For example, New Jersey is the first state in the nation to ban puppy mills as the source of dogs at pet stores. And in a conversation recorded Monday, he addresses animal-related laws he's pushed for, pending bills he sponsored, and ones vetoed by his periodic foe, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Collectively, this includes legislation to fight illegal trading of tiger parts, ban the use of gestation crates, prohibit anyone from bringing hunting trophy animals into the state, ban shark finning, and more recently, Lesniak sponsored Nosey's Law, which prohibits the use of elephants in traveling acts. In this conversation, we also hear about and from Lesniak's dogs, Penny and Sammy, learn his views of Christie and Donald Trump. He all but makes a big announcement of where his political aspirations will take him next, and more. We'll hear that when I play back my interview with Senator Raymond Lesniak in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Later, I'll speak briefly with Beth Kahn of Animal Coalition of Tampa about Stride for Strays, their big annual fundraiser slated for Sunday, November 6th at Perry Harvey Park, and a special registration discount that only lasts for these last few days of September. Before we go any further, though, and I'm eager to play this interview with Senator Lesniak, it's practically incumbent on me to spend a moment or two discussing the WMF Fall Fund Drive, which starts this week, Saturday specifically. And 1 week from today, I will be seeking your support for Talking Animals. Yesterday, we learned our fundraising goals, and I've been asked to raise $3,000. It's an enormous amount to raise, especially in less than an hour. The only way to really have a chance of succeeding is to receive some donations in advance. So I hope you'll consider making an early donation to the Talking Animals tip jar. I placed the link to the tip jar in the comments section of this morning's Facebook post about the show. So that's on the Talking Animals Radio Show Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, and the WMNF Bulletin Board Facebook page. So it's very easy. You can just find those places. Link is there. You can just click on it and hopefully drop a few bucks in. You also, another way to do this, you can help me with some pre-pledges. As always, I have some spectacular Talking Animals exclusive thank you gifts for pledges of various levels, including a pair of fantastic tickets to see Amy Schumer at Amalie Arena. These are the seats you'd get if you were Schumer's friend or family member. Let's just say Section 101. I also can offer amazing tickets to see Bob Dylan at Ruth Eckert Hall. This show is now, I believe, sold out, yet these tickets are row P, seats 24 and 25. Did I mention it's Bob Dylan? There are other exclusive thank you gifts, including a special online cooking course taught by award-winning vegan chef Mark Reinfeld, and some incredible items like a change purse, a zippered purse, others featuring animal paintings by artist Amy Pugh, a.k.a. Salvador Kitty, and two signed copies of Bronwyn Dickey's Pitbull, a book so extraordinary and acclaimed that the New York Times has published two separate rave reviews of it. To find out more about these thank you gifts that you can only get by supporting Talking Animals, please visit talkinganimals.net. Right now, though, let's hear the conversation with Senator Lesniak, recorded Monday. This is Senator Raymond J. Lesniak on Talking Animals.
Thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals, Senator Lesniak.
Well, it's great to be here. I'm at home overlooking my two dogs, Penny and Sammy, licking each other and loving each other. Doesn't always work that way, but right now it's a great scene.
Well, we like animals peacefully coexisting. That's partly at least what we're about here. But before we get into the topic of animals too far and legislation, of course, to protect them, let's touch on a few early chapters of the Raymond Lesniak story, if we could. How early, for example, in your life did you recognize that public service was the path for you?
No, not that early. Indeed, it wasn't until after I graduated law school. It was a little bit of a struggle for me, to say the least. I dropped out of Rutgers twice, not once, but twice. was drafted into the United States Army. I came back and was able to use the GI Bill to get to not only Rutgers University, but with honors, graduate St. John's Law School. And, you know, I was still a drifter, as you could see from my history that I just outlined. So I really didn't know what I wanted to do. As a matter of fact, my mother accused me of going to law school to avoid working for a living.
Wow, that's quite a dodge there, yeah.
But she was a Democratic committee woman in Elizabeth, and invited me to a Democratic club meeting, which I went to just for ha-has, you know, just to meet people. At that time, probably even to meet girls, who knows. But it wasn't a burning desire of me to get involved in politics, although I always had strong opinions on issues. So I guess that's what drove me there ultimately. And there was a young man who just graduated law school also, Adam Levin, who was running for Congress. He was a dynamic speaker, and I heard him speak, volunteered on his campaign, and the rest is history.
Wow. So it sounds like then, like, for example, earlier in your life, in your formative years, that you weren't necessarily the class president guy or
no.
Filling those kind of roles. You really did sort of veer into it.
I was a little bit of a radical,
yeah,
a protester as well, but no, never ran for office. School or in college or law school, but again, I was very opinionated and didn't really get involved in the actual electoral type of politics until I went to that one Democratic meeting that my mother talked me into going to.
Yeah, well, and so then for a kind of parallel storyline, at least for our purposes today, what role did animals play in your family when you were a kid? Were animals important to you and your family?
Well, we always had a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And always cherished our dogs, and always was sad when they passed.
Sure.
I had a friend who talked me into getting my first rescue. And indeed, that is a German Shepherd. That was the last time that was the first time I got a rescue, and I've only had rescues ever since that time. The love of my life passed a few years ago. Brittany, I had her for 19 years.
Wow!
And when I went to the shelter to pick out one of the rescued animals there. It was in West Orange, and they had various different dogs in cages, and you looked to see which one appealed to you. And then you walked them, and then they went back in their cages.
Yeah.
Brittany was the third dog I walked, and unlike the other dogs who went back into the cages, she came running after me.
Mm.
So she chose me. I said, that's the one, and I had her for 19 years. And for 3 years, I said, never again, never again, never again.
Too broken-hearted, Senator Lesniak?
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I finally decided to go for it again, and we rescued Penny from the streets of Brooklyn with the help of Rescuezilla. And then I went to St. Hubert's to meet with Wayne Purcell from the Humane Society of the United States. And while I was there, they took me around to see the dogs that had been rescued, that they were working with. And they handed me Penny, who was like the size of my hand. She's pretty big now. But I took a picture for Facebook, and as soon as I held her in my hand, I knew she was coming home with me. Indeed, she was. She was one of four in a litter who survived. Three were frozen to death by the time St. Hubert's got there. And they found the litter when someone brought the mother into them, and they saw she was lactating. Took the mother back into this to that neighborhood, and she found her litter. That's really magnificent work.
Yeah.
Everybody to save Sammy and her other siblings, as well as her mother.
Wow, that's quite a story, for sure. Let me let folks know this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is New Jersey State Senator Raymond Lesniak, who has a long legislative track record of working on behalf of animals and animal welfare, including recently sponsoring the so-called Nosey's Law, which prohibits the use of elephants in traveling animal acts. This conversation was recorded Monday. So at what point, I think we hear some talking animals now. That's my best. That's my favorite thing. Yeah. That's why we call it this. We hope to hear from them. So great.
There you go.
So Senator Lesniak, at what point did you determine, I mean, obviously you've had some profound experiences with dogs, and we're hearing their point of view right now along the way, but what point did you determine that animal welfare issues would constitute an important part of your work as a legislator?
Well, once I got involved in the rescue community, I met people like Kathleen Schatzman from the Humane Society of New Jersey, Jen Samuel from Elephants D.C., and they impressed upon me the plight of other animals, of elephants and rhinos, who are nearing extinction because of the ivory trade.
Yeah.
And as a result, I sponsored the first law in the nation and the tightest law in the nation banning ivory transactions. Also, I went from there. We're in litigation now. Because of the lack of strong federal laws and loopholes in federal laws, also sponsored the law banning trophies from endangered species from coming into New Jersey.
Yeah,
that's been restricted by federal law, but it just points out the need for us to go beyond our borders and to look not just what's here in New Jersey, but to be humane. For all animals, all species, wherever they are, in New Jersey, in the United States, or throughout the world.
Right. Well, that to me is actually among the reasons I wanted to speak with you, Senator Lesniak, because that seems to be part of what's informed your work and your legislative sensibility, is that obviously working very, very hard within New Jersey for your constituents there, but these kinds of pieces of legislation certainly reverberate well beyond and are seemed designed to do so.
Oh, without a doubt. I've traveled to other states, to Massachusetts, to Connecticut, to Delaware, to Washington, D.C., to testify before the Department of Interior, Division of Fish and Wildlife, to take action, stronger actions to not only prevent extinction of these magnificent creatures put here on Earth, but also to end any cruelty to them.
Yeah.
One of the famous cases was my successful, but then vetoed by the governor, legislation that passed overwhelmingly, Republicans and Democrats, banning gestation crates. These pregnant sows spend 80% of their lives in these crates where they can't even stand up, have no opportunity to even turn around. Pigs are sentient animals. They feel. They have feelings. They have intelligence. Any humane person, whether they eat meat or not, would not want them to be held in captivity for their entire lives in the manner that they are. Unfortunately, Governor Christie kowtowed to the pork industry. One of his biggest supporters is a big pork magnet billionaire. Mm. Once we get a new governor, it'll be one of the first things that we'll get through. I'm sure of that.
Well, let's take a moment then and talk a bit more about. I love almost the aside that once we get a new governor.
I intentionally put it that way.
Yeah, no, that didn't go unappreciated at all. So, and I think there's been at least one or two other pieces of legislation that worked hard on that he has vetoed, including I think the when you had a thing to fight the illegal trading of tiger parts.
Yeah,
that was another one. So he seems to sometimes be your foe in pushing for these new laws. So tell me your view of Governor Christie. I mean, how does the Chris Christie you know compare with the Chris Christie most of the rest of us only see from a distance, who's kind of smart, pugnacious, sometimes eloquent bully, but we don't work with him in the trying to pass laws or have him block us passing laws. So what is your view of Chris Christie?
Well, yeah, he can be, and not can be, he is very charming in person. Unfortunately, that charm does not translate to his actions as governor.
Yeah.
I do not have a high view of him at all. Yes, he has signed some very important laws that I've sponsored. And the reason why I got him bonds to sign both the Ivy Law and the trophy bet is because I emphasize the money being made by terrorists from this type of activity. So that caught his eye, and I was able to get that done. But as a whole, yes, he's not oftentimes a bully. He's always a bully. But, you know, I grew up in Elizabeth Port. I lived in Elizabeth my entire life. No one's come to bully me, I'll guarantee you that. So it's a struggle. But life is made up of struggles, and you have to keep fighting to overcome them. And I've been a champion on many, many issues, and it was later rather than earlier in my long political career that I'd become a champion for animals. But it's brought so much satisfaction into my life to become aware of what great joy that they bring into on Earth to everyone, and how we can enjoy them by protecting them and not being cruel to them.
Right. Well, you know, people listening who may or may not be as familiar with your legislative record as I have become, you're an advocate for, among other things, environmental protection and other social justice, including sustained efforts to pass legislation to allow same-sex couples to marry in New Jersey. So do you look at working on animal welfare or animal protection legislation as all part of a piece with those efforts?
I do. I've often quoted Dr. King, who said the moral arc of the universe is long, but it always turns towards justice. And I feel that it's a moral issue that we protect animals and don't treat them cruelly, and certainly don't do things to destroy their existence on the face of the earth.
And again, beautifully, beautifully said and beautifully echoed from him. But I'd be curious, when you first started sponsoring those kind of bills, how did your colleagues view your stance about animals and efforts on their behalf? Were they puzzled initially, critical, dismissive? How did that work?
Good question. I do exert a lot of power and influence and authority in the Senate. So I have been able to get my way on these pieces of legislation. And I do get some shrugs. There's no doubt about it. And some elephants, nosies law, we do get criticism sometimes from people who say, well, aren't there more important things to do? Well, you know, you could do more than one important thing at the same time. And it is important for New Jersey to lead the way. And I've been saying this often, and I will continue to say it as long as I'm in public office, to make New Jersey the humane state. And that applies to everyone, including animals.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, because that's one reason I wanted to briefly point out at least some of the other things that you have worked very hard on, because it's not like you're the senator that just does animal legislation. And yet I did wonder, and you started to touch on it, that I just thought, were there colleagues that, oh, geez, you know, there goes Lesniak again with another critter bill. Yeah.
That is starting, but we're also converting a lot of legislators to see the light of day and see the importance of treating animals humanely.
Yeah, which is what I kind of would hope, too, is that over time, just the way that I think generally there's been a societal shift, that I would hope in that body that what might have once seemed a little bit like a marginal position now and again would be much more common.
Well, you know, I get the same thing with my criminal justice reforms, and I certainly got the same attitude when I was sponsoring same-sex marriage. Indeed, the first time I got it up for a vote, we only got 13 Democrats out of 23 Democrats to vote for it. I'm certainly not afraid to take on challenges. And I remember even when a very progressive Democrat, so-called senator, very progressive in her public persona, said, Raymond, why are you making us vote for this? You don't have the votes. Why are you making us vote for this?
Hmm.
Standing on principle and on what you believe in makes public service worthwhile. I don't understand folks who just do it to get reelected. If that were the case, I'd rather be playing golf.
Right.
So I do enjoy. I do enjoy taking on these causes that are dear to me and what I believe is a moral imperative for our society.
Right. Well, and also, too, it seems like that any sort of legislator, whatever the issue, knows that you're going to introduce bills. They're not going to go probably on the first round, or once in a blue moon, that is, they will, and that's great. But the idea is to get it out there, to make headway, to hopefully rally some support, and keep coming back until you get the same-sex marriage thing pushed.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, but to me, that's all the more striking then that colleague says, you know, why are you making us vote for this when, I mean, sure, there's something that she's been working on or in the past has worked on that seemed maybe a little bit a long shot or challenging to get passed, but over time, maybe it did.
Well, I mean, and she was the only one for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, too many of my, I remember when I abolished the death penalty in New Jersey, we were the first state to do that. And I remember saying at the public bill signing when Governor Corzine signed it, how Democrats and Republicans united to vote their conscience. We should do that more often.
That's powerful. Yeah. So, Senator Lesniak, let's talk about a few of the things that you have sponsored or worked hard on for animal-oriented legislation. So we talked about the gestation crates. We talked, unfortunately.
Well, we should talk about puppy mills.
Okay, believe me, that would be great. That's, unfortunately, a frequent topic on this show, and I'd love to hear what you have to say on it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we're moving it forward. Past the Senate, not without a struggle, the objectors came out of the woodwork, they have a lobbyist that pour money into campaigns. You fight the good fight, you have all the right reasons, and ultimately you will win, and we will. I expect it to get out of the assembly and voted on committee and voted on in the assembly before the month of October.
Wow.
Is over before the month of October is over.
Okay.
that would have been a tough one.
Yeah, no, that's confident there,
that's
Senator
great.
Lesniak. I like that, yeah.
And then we'll have to lobby the governor, but I think we'll get good bipartisan support for it because the evidence is so overwhelming. And we have 10,000 dogs and cats a year in New Jersey put to death because of the overbreeding from these puppy mills, on top of the fact that they are bred oftentimes in very, very cruel and unhealthy conditions. So the pet stores in New Jersey will only be able to source from breeders who have a clean record, are licensed, and haven't been cited for multiple violations by the federal government. And we'll put the internet sales of dogs and cats out of business as well, unless they come from an established breeder who has been inspected and not violated the law. And that's the best we can do. I want to do a little more.
Yeah.
But I had my heels clipped on that. But this is going to be the first. Again, we will be the first state in the nation to ban sourcing from these puppy mills, who obviously should not be in business. And if other states will follow our lead, they will be put out of business.
That's really significant because there are more and more, as I'm sure you know, while working on this bill, there are cities and counties that have enacted those kind of things, but a statewide law is significant.
And I'll lobby other states. I'll take it, travel anywhere. I'll travel anywhere to prevent cruelty and those of this nature.
So that one's pending before October is over. Let's keep that key phrase. And so we talked a little bit about the tiger parts fighting legal that vetoed by Governor Christie, and that the gestation crate bill, I guess the law was also vetoed by Christie. But I may
take another run at the gestation crate now that we have evidence of the big, huge support that Governor Christie got from this Iowa pork magnet. We all knew that was the reason, but it was all just because it made sense. Now we have actual evidence.
I see. Great. So there could be another pass at this that might be more
successful. I may take another shot at it.
Yeah. Yep. And then I think also you've been working on legislation to ban shark finning.
Well, that, you know, I got that through the... we have a problem with a Democratic assemblyman from South Jersey.
Mm.
And I have to do an end around at his committee. Unfortunately, the bills automatically go to his committee because that's where it's on his jurisdiction. I have to use my whatever goodwill I have, and I have a lot, to work around him. And indeed, I did that at the last session. We got past the Senate, and the last session of the assembly got pulled. He was able to get it pulled. I'm not going to let him do that again.
Yeah.
Because it's just, again, the cruelty is just unimaginable. The sharks who bleed to death just for a shark fin so that people can enjoy soup or have some fictitious medical benefit from it.
Well, it's interesting that just in almost a passing reference to that assemblyman, that Penny and Sammy were barking up a storm, I think, registering their own their own protest of that.
Probably.
Yeah.
They're smart dogs, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, Senator Lesniak, I think another thing, just because this probably has importance on a broad scale like many of these others do, where do we stand with there was a bear baiting or bear...
Yes. Well, again, that's one I've had a lot of difficulty with. This time, I believe I'm going to have some success. Looking at a broader program that will involve sterilization, we have facts to prove that it works. We have facts to prove that that bear hunts do not work, and indeed, they actually wind up attracting more bears into the area.
Yeah.
So. Well, I'm putting that together. I should have that ready in a few weeks, and hopefully that will get on the gut. It won't be in time for this bear hunt to end. You know, we'll all ask Governor Christie. We'll show him why there won't be a need for it. We'll lobby him for it. I'm not very hopeful that the governor will listen to our call.
Mm. Once again, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Trust. My guest is New Jersey State Senator Raymond Lesniak. We're discussing his various sponsoring of bills and being involved with others to help protect animals, promote various aspects of animal welfare. This conversation was recorded Monday. So, Senator Lesniak, we've alluded to, each of us, I guess, at this point, once or twice, to Nosey's Law, I guess one of your more recent pieces of legislation you've sponsored. Maybe you could describe that bill and where it stands.
Sure. Well, you know, I had legislation prohibit elephants from circuses, any type of activity of that nature in New Jersey, because of the cruelty that you see that is being endured by Nosey. It hit me one night. In the middle of the night, to say, well, then why don't you call it Nosey's Law? Because Nosey will inspire people to support this, which most people don't see as a huge issue. It's up to us to bring it to the attention of the public and our fellow legislators. That it is an important issue, that this is cruelty, and Nosey is a great poster child because she needs to spend the remaining years of her life in a sanctuary where she can mingle with other animals, with other elephants, and be free. The captivity alone in and of itself is cruel. And again, this is part of that moral curve of the universe, curving slowly but towards justice. Yeah, ultimately, we'll look for other exotic animals to be freed and put into sanctuaries as well.
Yeah, well, again, you know, many of us in Florida are unfortunately all too familiar with Nosey, and she spent a lot of time in Florida and just basically.
Her home base is Florida.
Yeah, and just spends time solitary when she's not on the road, and I think has at least one bum leg that captive elephants like that often do, and get very serious foot problems and arthritis, And so, yeah, there's been an effort for some time to move her into one of the great sanctuaries where she could really live out there.
By the way, do you have time for a quick story on tigers?
Sure, by all means, yeah.
Well, by the way, it was also early on when I was just getting involved in animal protection, animal welfare legislation. The fellow who I didn't know, and I'm not quite sure how he came to me, his name is Bill Nemo.
Oh, yeah.
Tigers,
so, not unlimited, yeah. Tigers something, but there's a second
word
there. Yeah.
I don't know why the name, but I will tell you his story. He and his wife, Kazim, would go, there was a sanctuary in South Jersey, and they would go there regularly and got very attached to the four or five tigers they had there. And the sanctuary went out of business. And they had to get rid of the tigers, and they got rid of them someplace in Texas where they were going to put them down. And not only did Bill and his wife track them down, but found out how to identify them. The hair or the color, the forehead of a tiger is like our fingerprints. They're unique to every single tiger.
Yeah.
He went down there. He tracked them down. He paid for them to go to Florida and built a sanctuary there. And I think in one other state as well, he actually had to pay to build a facility to keep them there. That was one of also my first introduction to seeing someone's passion for animals. So when I saw that, that had a great impact on me to ask myself, how come you don't feel that way? And I learned, and it's a great experience to be part of nature and be part of a community of humans and animals together enjoying each other.
Yeah, he was quite impressed. Maybe a year and a half or so ago on the show, and because I'd heard him at a conference, and I was impressed as you obviously are, and just what he's done with just the staggering captive tiger population, and try to help make things better for them is just remarkable. Yeah. So, Senator Lesnik, we're probably in the final few minutes maybe of chatting, but I'm just wondering, you know, you're obviously working on and have worked on a number of animal issues for legislation and sponsoring legislation. Are there some particularly vital animal issues that you think need to be addressed in a high-priority mm-hmm. way that you just haven't had a chance, or you felt like, hey, I can't push this through right now when I'm working on this, and this?
Well, I do have to stage them, unfortunately, because...
Yeah.
My fellow legislators do, as you talked about earlier, and said, what's this all about, right? Another one? You know,
yeah,
another one?
Sure.
So I do have to stage them right now, focusing on puppy mills and shark finning, and also the bear, eliminating the bear hunts.
Yeah.
Those will be my three priorities to get done hopefully before the end of the year.
And I'm just curious, too.
And by the way, Nosey's Law. Can't forget about Nosey's
yeah.
Law.
Well, so far, so good on Nosey's Law, if I'm
right.
not mistaken,
absolutely.
Right? It's taken the first step, so that's great.
Yep.
So what more generally, what's ahead? Do you plan to remain in the state senate, or is there some other political job or role you envision?
There we go. That's a softball for you, huh?
Well,
no,
just partly the reference that you made, I think, to Governor Christie and some
sure.
other things, and just how long and effectively you served here, I just get the sense there's something kind of in the offing.
Well, there is. For me, it's either go up or go out.
Okay.
I can't say this officially. I will be making an announcement within 3 weeks. But if you've heard the passion I have and the determination I have for the causes I believe in, you can figure out that I'm going up and not going out.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And so I suppose you don't want to break that news on an animal-related radio show. I guess you're saving it for a little bit larger platform, perhaps. But,
supporters of animals are a large part of my... of the base, and will be very, very helpful for if I make that announcement, which will come. An announcement will come. They'll be very, very helpful in moving forward to make New Jersey the humane state, first among the rest.
That's great. Well, one other thing, too, speaking of politics, we're recording this on the morning of the first presidential debate. Donald Trump has done a lot of business in and around New Jersey. Have you had any dealings with him on one or another? And what is your view of Mr. Trump?
I don't have a very good view of Donald Trump.
Why am I not surprised, Senator Lesnick? Why am I not surprised? Yeah.
Well, look, I've played golf with him. He cheats at golf. He's a known cheater at golf. Go to any club where he's played. Don't know. And if you cheat at golf, you cheat at anything. But obviously, that's not the worst thing about Donald Trump. But he's really. But again, just like Chris Christie, and it's no surprise that they're so close. He's a very charming person, incredibly charming in person. But his views are frightening for America, frightening for the world. I am very, very troubled by the fact that a lot of Americans are ignoring. You know, his bigoted statements, his lack of compassion, his treatment of women. Look, obviously, people are upset for a lot of different reasons. But I ultimately have faith in the American public that when the day of reckoning comes, that it won't be Donald Trump who will be our next president of the United States.
I think that might be the perfect upbeat note, especially with the way things have been looking lately, to complete our conversation. And I hope you're as good a prognosticator as you are a legislator. So we've been speaking with State Senator Raymond Lesniak. There's a website, among others, Raymond Lesniak. It's LESNIAK.com for finding out all kinds of information about these bills and other things that we've discussed and things we didn't have a chance to discuss. So, Senator Lesniak, thank you so much for making the time to join us today on Talking Animals. Really appreciate it and look forward to that announcement in 3 weeks.
Well, thank you, and I'll certainly look forward to coming back again, maybe from Trump's wacket where the governor resides.
Okay.
A year or so.
Well, I think you've all but made the announcement. I can piece this together. Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you again, Senator. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. Bye.
All right. Our thanks again to Senator Lesniak. Also, other thanks, while the interview with Senator Lesniak was airing, we got an anonymous pledge, so thank you, Anonymous. And we also fielded some inquiries about both the Bob Dylan tickets and the Amy Schumer tickets, so we'll see how that goes, but that's encouraging as well. So in a few moments, I'll speak with Beth Kahn of Animal Coalition of Tampa about their forthcoming big fundraiser, Stride for Strays. Right now, it's time to step into the Comedy Corner. As I did mention earlier, and just alluded to now, in fact, as an exclusive thank you from Talking Animals, a gift for a pledge in support of the show, I have primo tickets to see Amy Schumer at the Amelie Arena October 16th. And Schumer is on fire right now. Her TV show, on the one hand, is on hiatus, and that status seems to be uncertain, as she is interviewed about it at least. But she has a best-selling memoir, a hot-selling acclaimed arena tour. Earlier this week, in fact, the New York Times comedy critic raved about the arena show that he had just seen and her evolution as a stand-up. So let's hear a bit of Amy Schumer. In this case, in a piece from Inside Amy Schumer, the TV show that is on hiatus, called Doggy Daycare. In today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
Hi, Addison. Have fun. Play nice. Okay, I left grass-fed bison with the woman at the front. That's all she can eat.
First day dropping him off at daycare?
Yeah. I got him when he was 10 minutes old. I'm still breastfeeding him.
Oh, I could never adopt a puppy.
Absolutely not. Puppies get adopted so quickly.
My Duke, he was 14 when I rescued him. His owners had just dropped him off at the shelter to die, and I was like, man.
You're coming with me.
Oh, wow.
Mrs. Belvedere is a rescue from Hurricane Katrina. She was up on a roof with this little boy his parents had drowned, and I just thought, that little orphan boy can't take care of a dog. So I choppered in and rescued her right off that roof.
What happened to the boy?
What boy?
Duke lost his legs when a cop shot him in St. Louis.
See, my dog has severe body image issues. You should see how she sees herself.
Well, Addison has advanced stage FOMO, fear of missing out.
I had to completely take him off social media. It's too stressful.
Have you thought about medication? Because my rescue is on Prozac for anxiety.
Yeah, and Duke is on Xanax for separation issues.
Addie's on Valtrex because we share a prescription. But that is it for medication because family history of addiction.
Well, I didn't get my guy vaccinated because Jenny McCarthy said it can cause autism.
I followed her advice too. I got my dog a cat because pets make you live longer.
Oh, yeah. She knows it all.
There's nothing she doesn't know.
Bye, quinoa.
Oh, cute purebred.
Yeah, what mall did you get her from?
The Darfur Galleria. It's in the Sudan. He was a child dog soldier and was abandoned by the Bedouin militia when they found out he was gay. So, I guess I did get him at a mall.
Okay, Daisy, back at daycare.
Is your dog dead?
Yeah. They just put her down at the pound about a month ago, and I was like, I'll take her. I was just doing what any hero would do, but she's my hero.
Yeah.
My baby has four legs.
Right? I'm always like, who rescued who?
Exactly.
My dog's like a person.
That was Amy Schumer with a piece called Doggy Daycare, taken from her TV show, Inside Amy Schumer. Again, we have a pair of tickets to the best seats in the house for Schumer's show October 16th at the Amelie Arena. So we did get one inquiry, but at the moment they're still available. You can always email dj@wmnf.org if you're interested. Now let's move to my brief conversation with Beth Kahn from Animal Coalition of Tampa. Let's welcome Beth, in fact, right now to Talking Animals. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning, Duncan. It's a pleasure to be on the Talking Animals show.
Well, that's
glad to be here.
Well, that's very, very nice. Now, we've had Linda Hamilton and others from ACT on the show over the years, so I don't think we need to spend too much time on just the basic operation. And, of course, the low-cost spay and neuter is critical, and there are the other medical services offered by ACT. But much of those services are, of course, underwritten by fundraising events and donations and other things. So one of those key fundraising events each year is Stride for Strays. So for those listening who may not be familiar with it, maybe you could sort of outline a little bit about what Stride is.
I'd be glad to. Stride for Strays is our largest fundraiser of the year. It is a dog walk and fundraiser. This year we're having it on November 6th at Terry Harvey Park in beautiful downtown Tampa. It starts from 9:30 and it runs till about 2 p.m. The day is full of activities. We're going to have vendors there, rescue groups, as well as the dog walk itself. Teams start a walk. They can become a pack leader and kind of raise funds for our organization. And then on November 6th, they're going to gather the family and friends, and we're all going to come out to support the Animal Coalition by walking our pets through the park in a show of support. And it's going to be a great time. You can register to walk at strideforstrays.org. We've got a pre-registration running until the end of the month of September, which is a lower cost than what we're going to have moving forward in October as we amp up for the event. But it's going to be a great time. It's a family event. There's going to be a lot of things there to do. We're going to have an awards ceremony, and we're just going to have a great time that day, and it's going to be for a good cause. The Animal Coalition is really helps animals every day. I get to see it firsthand, so I firmly believe in our program.
Well, thank you, Beth, for number one, we're not able to mention the prices of things on the air here at WMNF, but yeah, one of the reasons I wanted to speak with you or someone from ACT today, even though the event is until early November, is that people who have participated, and it's guys have been holding this event for many, many years now, that really there is a discounted way, as you say, to register to participate in Stride for Strays until final day of September. So we have a couple, almost three full days, really, for people to get in on that. And if you're going to participate in Stride anyway, then why not kind of get in and take advantage of this discount as well? So now, for those, you kind of outlined some of the other things that are going to go on there. But for one reason or another, folks aren't able to or just prefer not to do the walk. They're not going to do striding that day. There are plenty of other activities and plenty of other things that people, animal-minded or fun-minded people, would do there, correct?
That is right. It's a fun day for all if you'd just like to come out and enjoy the beautiful weather. November is always gorgeous, and there'll be a lot of things to see, of course, the dogs and the events themselves. if you'd just like to come and pick up some items to support our vendors, that would be great, too.
Yeah, so there's really a full raft of vendors and nonprofits, I think, also usually offering information and animals and things to eat and drink and music and stuff. So it's the full extravaganza.
That's right, and we'd love to see you there.
So just to review, if people want to register, they can go to strideforstrays.org. But if they'd like to find out more about Stride generally, or even more, find out more about Animal Coalition of Tampa, maybe you could give some information about website and or Facebook or even just the phone number.
Right. You can find us at www.actampa.org. That's our main website, and there is information about the Stride for Strays on there. You can donate if you'd just like to support our great cause. And if you'd like to give us a call, our phone number is 813-250-3900. Or you can contact us through info@actampa.org.
Well, I think that covers every possible way that someone might want to get in touch or find out more. So Beth, well, thank you very, very much for making the time to join us on Talking Animals. And we'll look forward to the event again on Sunday, November 6th from 9 a.m. to 3 at Perry Harvey Park in Tampa. So
thank you so much, Duncan.
Thank you. Coming up at 11 on WMNF, it's Rob Lori and Radioactivity rolling into the noon hour. It constitutes a full 2 hours of interviews, phone calls, news, and more with contributions from members of the stellar WMNF staff, including, of course, Everyday Ethics with Craig Kopp. Meanwhile, surprise for Name That Animal Tune, which we'll be getting to momentarily. We'll be offering a Talking Animals t-shirt. Right now, we'll hear a couple of animal news and or announcements, including, looking ahead a little bit as well, the folks at Friends of Strays, I got Stride for Strays on my mind still from the ACT, but they are having a October special, Adopter Fest. And so they basically say you can kind of name your own price adoption special on black cats, on all black cats for the entire month of October. And as someone notes here, I have a weakness for black cats. We have two currently, and my all-time favorite special animal, at least on the cat side, was a great black cat named Otis. So we are partial to black cats, especially in part because, as you probably know, they are often the last cats to be adopted, which sometimes unfortunately translates to being the cats that are not adopted. So, Friends of Strays does have a cool deal going for the whole month of October, and there's also an Adoptober open house there on Saturday, October 22nd, from 3 to 6 p.m. with fun tricks, yummy treats, creative crafts, and not-so-scary movie. And, of course, costumes are encouraged there. So you can find out more at friendsofstrays.com. Also, as we've noted a few times, and we spoke with Natch McCushion there from the Humane Society of Tampa Bay, but just want to remind you that they were awarded a significant grant, they meaning Humane Society of Tampa Bay, to sterilize outdoor cats. So that means not only feral cats, if you look after any sort of a colony and want to get some help with trapping, neutering, and sterilizing, etc., and vaccinating as well. They have this grant that enables them to do that and help you do that very, very, very low cost. And, of course, if you have cats that live with you, but they're also outdoor cats at times, this grant applies to that as well if it's time to get them spayed and neutered. So, again, you can contact Humane Society of Tampa Bay for details on that. And also looking ahead a little bit, Sue Pike, the Animal Talker, will be back on these very airwaves on November 3rd with our beloved E-Love on the Ultrasound Show. That'll be 10 p.m. to midnight on Thursday, November 3rd. But there are also a number of local appearances and things that Sue will be doing. So go to SuePikeEnergy.com, find out more details, or you can go to the animalchanner.blogspot.com to find out details as well. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. This is a giveaway, but please only participate if you haven't won something from WNF in the last 90 days, and there'll be a prize, a Talking Animals t-shirt, to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. This is a guy, I should note, who we have amazing tickets to see at Ruth Eckert Hall as a fun drive thank you gift for your pledge. Again, you can email me at dj@wmf.org for details on the tickets and the details. Right now, though, it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. Folks, ready to guess? We'll probably take those off the air because we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Rob Laurie's up next with what amounts to 2 hours of radio activity. I'll be back next Wednesday, October 5th, joined by my friend Laura Taylor, asking you to support Talking Animals and WMNF as part of the station's fall fun drive. With that in mind, please visit talkinganimals.net where you can find out about all our exclusive thank you gifts and, in many cases, see them. Also, Talking Animals on that, you'll find audio archives of every show we've ever broadcast, iTunes podcast as well, and links to Facebook page, Twitter feed, and more. There's also a way that you can easily access the Talking Animals tip jar. Maybe you'd like to slip a few bucks in there, help us get a jump on the fun drive. So, I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind, animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. This is Talking Animals on WMNF, Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weeki Wachee, and beyond. Community Conscious Radio. Thanks for listening. See you next week.